listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, July 3rd. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. You know, as always, I'm very glad to be here.
Always so glad to have you. So glad to see everybody in chat tonight. And so thankful that everybody catches up with us in the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. I only say it a million times. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Tonight, Dr. Vicki, we're going to be talking about reinvention.
We are. I've got lots to talk about, Michael.
It's going to be a good one. Just at the outset, it is July 3rd, so in the United States, we're going to celebrate Independence Day tomorrow on July 4th, so wishing everybody a happy and safe holiday. Of course, it is the anniversary of when we fought for our right to use the Fahrenheit temperature system. So, you know, I hold on to that dearly. But, and I know we've had a little chat in there. I just want to say, hey, you know, it's a chaotic time. Don't worry. It's going to get more chaotic. But the point is that keep a good head on your shoulders. Be reasonable. Be, you know, be safe. Be prepared. And we're going to get through it. Whatever happens, we're going to get through it. So,
well, it's a time of reinvention, isn't it?
Well, it isn't that, which can be chaotic and painful, which is why I think healthy skills for reinvention in a healthy way are good things.
You know, last week when we talked about this potential topic, and I've since been thinking about it, and I said to myself, I said, this can affects people at so many levels. When do we have to reinvent ourselves? Well, oh, Michael, it can happen when if something like a plan doesn't go right. You lose a job unexpectedly. I know for a lot of reasons. Look, I'm going through my own reinvention right now. But I think back to all the times I've had to do that and all the other people I know who go through processes of, you know, say a marriage ends. You know, you have to move. Lose your job. Somebody gets sick. There's so many ways that life happens that we find ourselves in a position of, oh. Now, it's different than, it's a different thing than just riding with the change. You know, we have to ride with ebbs and tides and cycles of life, and it's forever changing. And we adapt. We find skills. The reinvention comes when we enter something totally unfamiliar. So it's like, oh, I've never been here before. And you have to dig deep in yourself to say, who am I and what do I need to learn? What do I need to call upon that I don't know about myself? And I think everybody here, certainly in the chat, and listening can relate to that, you know, and how do you do that? What is that, even if it's unconscious, what is that process that we go through? And of course, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross would say, you know, there's the seven stages of grief, you know, and because you are, you're grieving an old life or an old self, and there's the shock, the trauma, the anger, the sadness, and that can all happen in 10 minutes, but usually it takes more.
Oh, yeah, and they can, and you don't go through a cycle, right? They all hit you at different times, sometimes together, sometimes you go through it multiple times.
You know, I know I have a very close friend who just lost her husband, and she's really struggling with reinventing herself. Like, what to do next? Who am I? Like, talk about unexpectedly, the whole world took on a whole new color, and she's like a fish on a beach, you know. And that takes time. It does. In that, with something that traumatic, that takes time. If you're recovering from a very serious illness and working toward healing, that takes time. And you're learning a lot about yourself through that process. Now, every process is different. But what I can tell you is that with the will of a spirit, because we're the spirit in a body, with that will of spirit, you know, we find that piece of hope. But then we're learning, we come back to, well, what does hope mean to me? Well, I hope it gets better. And you're hoping from an external source. But what's also called upon is what's in your own source, your own resources, to be able to adapt and adjust. And how do I take action? I've never been here before. What actions do I take? And it's all very frightening for a minute. It's like, whoa, you know, it's really about taking 1 minute, one day at a time, and sometimes 1 hour at a time. And I mean that sincerely, because it knocks the wind out of you. There are some instances in life that are so big, you know, it's, whew, you know, it just push the pause button and breathe. And if you have to lean on other people a bit, yeah, certainly. And thanks, Edward, about my friend who lost her husband. She built her personality around being married to him. In a lot of cases, she did. In a lot of ways, they were together a very long time. But she's never lived alone in her life. So there's a lot of layers to this, not just that he was the focus of her life.
And hopefully it was that kind of relationship where if you had to ask him, you know, he would have been a focus of her life too.
In this case, not entirely, but you're right, Michael. You know?
Yeah, it was hopeful. I mean, I think a healthy relationship, you're not the focus, but a focus, but anyway.
Well, in this case, and I'll say this, he did have a secret life, and he left her a pot full of money she had no idea about.
If you're going to have a secret life, you might as well have a pot full of money at the end instead of a pot full
exactly.
of debt.
But nonetheless, we don't want to digress here. Every situation is different, because worse is when somebody loses a partner and they're destitute. You know, they have no money. And they lose their home. How do you reinvent yourself? Now, I'll tell you, I think it's happening all over the U.S. It's certainly happening in Canada. Homelessness is a massive problem. Oh, trying to find a home, trying to find a place that you can just say it's a roof over your head, never mind being a home.
Incredible.
How do you reinvent yourself? We live in a culture, especially in a white European-based culture. And I have to add that in there, by the way. Because we have this pride in being independent and affluent in our big houses. I never had that, but you know what I'm saying. Many cultures live many generations, you know, several generations in one home. And, you know, we sit back and say, you know, we say, wow, how did they do that? Well, it's because it's an interdependent family.
Yeah.
And they share costs, they share the work, they share everything. We're not used to doing that, Michael.
Well, I mean, let's go back, pre-World War II? And I think pretty much everybody was used to doing that.
Yes.
It's the affluence and the wealth that came after that that allowed people to even consider these alternative lifestyles in Europe or elsewhere, whether it's a European-based. I think in a lot of places in, you know, poor Europe, it's still that very same way.
So we're now having to shift in. I know of many people applying for a mortgage at once.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there's a lot of risks that come with that, but they have no choice. There are a lot of people renting a place together if they can.
And so
they're having to share in ways that were unexpected. And if you're not used to that, that's a huge reinvention of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Ego, pride, selfishness, all those things that we have to face.
You know, I had roommates most of my adult life up until the last few years. And there is a risk that comes along with it. There's only one instance it didn't really work out well. But you were young. I was younger. It was a bit more expected, I suppose. But there are a lot of benefits to it, too, you know. You know, some of the best times of my life were when I lived with, you know, my two best friends. We shared expenses, you know, in a, you know, three-bedroom house. But, and I think that I think an expectation has cropped up where you have an expectation to live alone. I don't think that's always fair. I think we have to live, you know, within context. I also agree that, you know, some different changes need to be made, you know, on the supply side at least. I've seen the numbers when it comes to Canada. We're an economics and housing podcast these days. But I've seen the numbers for Canadian housing. It seems almost worse than America. And the UK is having a huge run right now, too, comparative to continental Europe. It's rough in a lot of parts. But I think that something's got to change. And I think it hopefully will get some more supply out. And
well, these are things we learn about ourselves.
Mm-hmm. But to the point of reinvention and the point that life will foist this upon you, that life is constant change, that we adapt to that change, and through reinvention we find ways to adapt. You know, we have a newcomer.
The first thing about reinvention is taking self-responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this in self-responsibility, that applies to so many ways. Self-responsibility, well, in order to get through this, I might have to share.
Mm-hmm.
And my responsibility then is to learn how to share. And do my part, not have others do for me what I can do for myself. Dr. Kelly, you know, you're ringing his words. And being able to, you know, not take on the burden of other people's problems.
Yeah.
So it's finding those new ways of being, but facing, and again, what I really want to address everybody is when you're in that bubble between here and there, in that reinvention, be observant of yourself. You know, I've been through this enough times in my life that I'm observing. It's like having a sad day. Well, I know it'll pass, and I allow it to be a sad day. That's all there is to it. You know what? I'm having a sad day. And sad days make us think about the worst possible scenarios.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's human nature. You know,
And then we get sadder. And you go feel right to the bottom of that pain. And then you come up. And it's that slow emergence of up. But there is that demand we have to make of ourselves. Get up and do something. Because when we don't do that is when we lay down and fall apart. And that's part of self-responsibility. You know, I know that people like Audrey, you've had to look for a job. You've been through your stuff, Wendy. You know, Zach in his own way. And everybody, you know, you get to that point. And Dr. Damien just said, you know, worst case scenario, accept it. You know, and then you come out of it. So it's, what will I do next? What are the steps? What are my first needs to be met?
Mm-hmm.
And that's another big one. What is my first need? Is my first need a job? Is my first need a house because I have a job? Is my first need to make sure I can have enough money for food this week? What is the first need? And fulfill that need. And, you know, inch along at it. I think that there are other times when we are hit with, and let's say it is the grief of loss of someone who's really important in our lives, not just my friend who lost her husband, but we're smacked in the face with the reality of somebody passing. And we're paralyzed for a moment because it changes our life. And in that is a bit a measure of reinvention. And we have to be careful not to succumb to that grief, you know, because grief can be paralyzing. And I've seen it happen so many times to people. And it's to inch out of that, you know, being the here now. And I know that just sounds so hokey, but it's absolutely true. I'm in the here now. What needs have to be met in this moment? So that's the first step in self-responsibility, is being aware of that. I'm feeling sad. Mm-hmm. Okay. I need to go lie down for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Or maybe an hour. But then I have to make a list of at least one thing today I need to get done. Maybe two. You know, and at least getting one thing done, taking one step toward that reinvention. Maybe mm-hmm. it's doing research on the net. You know, that's one step. Then you're learning something about yourself. And that's that reinventing, because you are going to be different. From every big life event, you are changed. But observe the change and be better for it, not worse. It's so easy to get bitter, Michael. Bitter, you know. And,
it is.
And I have to say, I'm the first. I'm a pessimistic optimist or an optimistic pessimist.
Pessimistic's sure. in there somewhere.
Cynical.
Ah, so am I.
And I'm the first to admit that I can be that. But that doesn't deter me from being in that inner circle of myself and people around me
mm-hmm.
and still being who I am. You know.
Well, I think that's an important thing right there, isn't it? Holding on to who you are, your sense of self in midst of a reinvention.
But the expression of that is going to change.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
And I think that it... As we grow and we continually evolve in a, you know, metaphysical and a spiritual sense, you know, we're going to be better. We're going to look back on decisions in the past and realize we were wrong. But we have to realize part of our sense of self, especially as metaphysicians, is that inherent curiosity and willingness to change and, you know, dedication to a code of ethics. You know, do no harm, do right. Just mess that one up pretty bad.
Curiosity is a huge word in there that you just said.
Absolutely. And
you have to be curious.
Absolutely, you do. And it's not just to survive, but to thrive, yeah. You know?
I must say, there have been many times in my life, at one time running a huge farm, lots of animals, a massive garden, canning every year, kids to raise. When I got tired, I thought of my grandmother and my great-grandmother, who would get up at 3:30, 4 in the morning, stoke the fire, bake the bread. They didn't quit till they went to bed when it was dark, you know, and then they get out halfway through the night to stoke the fire, keep the place warm, and do that. And then I wasn't so tired, Michael.
Yeah.
Because I got it really good.
Yeah.
And even in these days, if we can remember, homelessness is not a new thing from time beginning, but thinking back to the dirty 30s, in the 1940s,
mm-hmm.
you know, families on the back of trucks or wagons with the only belongings they had. And we see them all the time, pictures of folks living in a tent,
mm-hmm.
you know, or, you know, sleeping outdoors mm-hmm. and building a fire, you know, women washing clothes on washboards. And,
you know,
so when you think about that, and I think sometimes with homelessness, we see the despair of it and the drug addiction and stuff, people who are not taking care, the people who leave the garbage around. But there are many homeless people out there who are really self-responsible. And especially where I live, there's lots living back in the bush, in a camper or otherwise, who are clean, who have three kids in a trailer, you know. And they go to work.
Yeah.
But come back to the trailer and trying to hide out.
I don't even think they'd be counted in the homeless population, would they?
Sorry?
Would they, if they have a camper and a trailer or something like that, would they be counted in the homeless population?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because they don't have, you know, that brick and mortar thing. They're homeless.
Yeah.
And they're actually squatting because they're not renting a pad. So
well,
even if you want to here, if you wanted to live in a camper and rent a place that's legal, it's going to cost you $1,000 a month plus utilities.
You know,
so they can't afford that.
There have been a lot of great examples talking about how home supply and cost of housing is more impactful on homelessness than addiction, which kind of made people, you know, make their heads turn. But when you have a shortage of supply and the prices go up, it's a shock to those that have the least wiggle room, which usually are people with addictions. That's kind of why it hits. But, you know, not that this is the topic. I'm a big yes in my backyard. Let's build. But, you know, I also appreciate what you're saying. We do... We have bigger homes, at least in the U.S. especially, compared to Europe. And I think Canada's kind of following in our footsteps a little bit in that way. But we also have, as a percentage, you know, there's far less homelessness now than there ever has been. It's something to hold on to in terms of progress. Let's not ignore it.
When you look at a percentage of population, that may be true in certain cultures. However, I think we are on the verge of something rather serious. And I certainly know that in Canada. And I'm not going to get quoting stats for you, Michael, but it's there's – I'll give you an example. Many more big companies are buying up housing projects. And I know in Ottawa, it just got released, and this has happened many times throughout Canada, but one example in the news 3 days ago, one building in Ottawa, 100 people got evicted at the same time. There's already a 1% vacancy rate. Where are they going to go?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. We're at a very serious moment.
No, I understand. And, you know, it's, also, I'm going to get going on a rant on economics, which is not the purpose of the discussion. But I honestly agree with you. And I think that we need to do something about it as a society, both down here and up there. And it's bad in a lot of spots. And I think we need to have empathy for people who are going through that.
Well, you know? And this is part of us redefining. We have to have empathy for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Compassion for ourselves, but then find the strength in ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to laugh at you, Damien. He says, you're not that old, Dr. Vicky. Yes, I am.
Well, you have to add up all the other past lives, too.
Well, that, too. I remember those past lives. But, no, staying at my grandparents, they didn't even get their first light bulb till I was 7 or 8. We were hauling coal, hauling water from the pump. Best water you ever drank in your life. So I remember it well. And it was the best life. So, it's a changing world. But we take it back to. Audra says this is a serious topic that so many don't want to talk about because of the money. You know, Audra, you nailed it right there. Because, in my view, everybody is a success story. Now, I don't have any money. But I've done a lot of things in my life, and I consider myself, in the face of a lot of adversities, I'm a success story. But the society does not view me as a success story because I don't own my own home and I don't have a lot of money. And I'm not free to travel and do a lot of things.
Mm.
And that's you know, the basic society. And it depends, of course, who you're hanging out with, but I know people with a lot of money. And I think they just tolerate me in some ways. But
I doubt that.
It's how we are viewed. If you can get through life facing adversity, facing challenges, you're a success story.
Absolutely.
If you can raise kids, if you can change your life, and this is what we don't give ourselves credit for. And it took me a long time to get there, Michael, a long time. Because I always thought I had to do more, better, greater. I wasn't good enough. I had to keep proving to myself something rather than just saying, I want to challenge myself. There was a difference in proving something to myself versus I want to challenge myself and learn something new. Very different, very different energy. So when I just learned not to worry about proving myself. I'm totally fine.
Yeah.
And if we could all do that, say, Dr. Zach says, if you graduated from high school, you're a success story. Well, I'll give you one better than that.
Well, Zach. I think he was implying the school.
Yeah.
I'm assuming he's talking about MHS, but go ahead.
If you can raise kids to get to be the age of 16, drug and alcohol free, disease and pregnant free, tattooed and pierced free, you have done your job.
Well, what's wrong with tattoos and piercings? I have known many a fine person with tattoos and piercings, but I digress. I don't have any.
Before 16, I know a mom who lived.
No, not before 16.
Kids pierce her nose, and she was 8, and I go, anyway.
Well, ears are one thing, but yeah, is that not?
Look, I got you.
But go ahead. I'm sorry, you can wrap up.
Because life will have its way with everybody. So no matter how great of a parent you've been, life is going to meet you in the middle somewhere. And because you're not in this life alone. And it's not just your community. There's a whole big world out there. And now with social media. And so there's a lot of challenges that were never there before. And even then before, I thought there were challenges. So, it's a different world. So in understanding that we're a success story, when you're reinventing yourself, you know that if you had it in you to do that in the past, you've got it in you to do this in the present. It just might take a little bit of ingenuity that you hadn't thought of before. That's my soapbox, Michael.
It's a good one, too, and I agree. I've had like a half dozen thoughts come to mind, and a few of them have just gone out the window. I'm trying to remember what they were. But one thing that I can hold on to is the one thing that kept coming back to me listening to you is society doesn't get to tell you as an individual what your self-worth is. And I appreciate you really emphasizing that point. You know, we don't derive our self-esteem from others. It's from our ethics, what we're doing, the successes and achievements in our lives, the personal battles that we fight. You know, I agree with you 100%.
And it's easy, it's easy to get tired. I get it. We all get tired.
Mm-hmm.
I say, this whole thing about anything that doesn't kill you makes you stronger. You say, oh, come on, that's getting really old. It's so old. I'm so done with that. And we do get tired. And that's when you have to take a rest and say, there is another way, we just haven't found it yet.
Mm-hmm.
There is something else. And finding any little bits of encouragement. And I'll tell you, I've been seeing the numbers 555 all the time lately. Oh, so I have to go up on angel numbers, Sorry, I do that. And it's just this little bit of inspiration. And then I had 444 today. And I go, you're on the right path. I don't know what path that is, but thank you for that. I'll take it.
Yeah.
And even if that's tricking my brain, okay, I'll take it. And then I have to laugh at myself, because what are these angel numbers?
It's part of that curiosity. We find meaning in life. And,
exactly.
And sometimes we need it. We find it because we need it. And there's nothing wrong with that. Just, the key point is to survive and to thrive. And part of reinvention is adapting to the circumstances around you and adapting your sense of self to the ever-changing world, and keeping the good parts of your integrity and your ethics in place, and expanding on them when you can. And, you know, there is always going to be an ever-shifting world that we have to adapt to. And if we just hold on to those good things about it, and hold on to those good things about each other, you know, then we're going to make it. Then we're going to reinvent ourselves, and we're going to do it in healthy ways, and it's going to be a continual process. Continual education is finding continually new ways of doing things, which is continual reinvention. It's a necessity of life.
It is.
Yeah. So, you know, it's these are good lessons. These are real good lessons. And I really appreciate you sharing, and I appreciate that soapbox of yours. It's good stuff. And I appreciate the chat tonight. We've had a few people that have, you know, opened up. We appreciate that, you being, you know, open with us. We have a new listener in the live chat, Voiles, and I'm probably butchering that, and I do apologize, but thanks for opening up about your father and going through a tough time. His father lost his wife, which is their stepmother, and his mom, their grandmother. It's a tough time, and Dr. Damien, and he said that you'd do anything to see who you lost, and hearts are with you. We appreciate you opening up, and of course, these life events force that reinvention. We have to think of ourselves in new ways. But that is the name of the game, and it's a wonderful process. It can be. It can hurt, but it can be wonderful on the other side.
I think, keep in mind, folks, when you do lose somebody, you're always going to be in pain. You just get used to it. And people to say, you know, I'll get over it, I'll get better. No, you're going to be in pain. You just get more accustomed to it. You learn to live with it. And it doesn't consume you for a whole day, but it might consume you for 5 minutes in 2 years. It's still going to hurt. So, and to say otherwise is just people projecting their own stuff and not wanting to deal with it.
And might I suggest somebody who says things like that hasn't had to deal with something significant yet in their life?
Yep.
But I think anybody that's dealt with a severe loss, I think we know. I think it's pain is, it is not the funnest side of life, but it is ever present, and we learn how to deal with it. And in some ways, you know, I'm pulling this from Marvel show. What is pain but love enduring? I think that was a line from Vision in WandaVision, but poignant nonetheless. Love enduring, you know, it is that part of the person we lost sticking with us, and those memories are bittersweet. You know, memories of my mom who'd passed, memories of my dogs that I've had to say goodbye to. You know, it's
And Damien said in the chat, pain that consumes you at the worst times, and it's called PTSD. You know, where you have a moment and relive it, and been there. I understand. And we work through it. You know, we just work through it. Dr. Zach has said the first year is always the hardest. Absolutely. Yeah. And trauma along with death amplifies that. You know, it's the way it is. But we do come through that and find it in ourselves to reinvent our life. Because it has to go on. That's our will.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our hope. And then there's our curiosity. So, I guess we're going to, you know, change the subject here altogether and draw some cards now, Michael.
Well, that's a way to segue. So let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Like a Band-Aid, just ripping it off. So, all right, let's do it. So, yeah, it is that time of night, and we're going to be pulling some cards. And I think Dr. Damien is our first one up. Did I catch that right?
That's what I have.
All right. We're going to roll with it. Damien, I have number 20 for you, deliberate intent. The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is you desire. It is not magic. It requires effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Release with patience.
Well, don't freak out at this, but I got the death card for you. And I actually like that in this case. Deliberate intent in this rebirthing. So it's that you've changed. And I think perhaps this conversation is good for you in some manner, because in the reinvention of yourself, deliberate intent, and the deliberate intent has changed, because perhaps your desire has changed or your focus has changed, and you're in this birthing process. So it's what this is saying is focus on one thing at a time and go forward. And you're assured success with that, Damien. So, a big change. Internally, a big change. I like it myself.
Right.
It doesn't feel good for a minute, but
you know,
it's a good one.
If I could, if we had sound effects, I would do some kind of ominous sound effect when you pull the death card, just as a joke.
Like coming through a
dun, dun, dun. But,
yeah.
But of course, we know that it's not as it seems. But all right. Next up, we have Dr. Jerry. Always happy to see you. And for you, I have number 13, positive consciousness. It's our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can find ourselves with a need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill towards others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude even in the face of obstacles and discouragements. They are temporary.
I got the chariot, Jerry, and you know, this is the good news. You've made progress, and it's you're going forward, and you're getting some good news right away that's also going to be encouraging. So I'm really glad for you, considering all that you've been through in the last few months, which is a lot, reinventing yourself. So that positive consciousness, you stuck to what you believe in. You're sticking to that. And you're, you know, you've been balancing things. Chariot means you're going forward with a good balance of energy. So good for you. I like it. That's a really good message.
Right.
Okay, we have Audra next.
And Audra, for you, I have number 25, the power of belief. Belief is the most powerful force in the universe. One's beliefs are responsible for one's successes and failures. It's also important to realize that you cannot disbelieve in one thing without also believing in something else. Beliefs can help or hinder, enable or disable. Denial is a belief, and it means lying to oneself to evade responsibility. Ponder your beliefs to see if they are healthy or unhealthy. Proceed with conviction.
Queen of Pentacles. So that Queen of Diamonds, power of belief. Oh, things are going to get so much better for you financially very soon, Audra. That's, innovation, determination, and successes, particularly in the physical realm. So I want to say financially. So stick to it. There's progress coming and more reward in the very short order. So a good message for you. By the way, Audra, thank you for that. I had never thought about that. I think it's a great idea. We need this sparkle sound for the death card.
There you go.
I love that.
I love the input. All right.
Okay, we have Dr. Edward next.
Dr. Edward, for you, I have number 19, invoke the counselor within. There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This is a time to remind yourself not to codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside of yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that is right for you.
Oh, good news, Edward. Seven of Diamonds, Seven of Pentacles is... it's simply, in my view, it's always about the harvest after all the work. And invoking that counselor within is, you're going to see a reward there also. I love these reward moments here, Michael. it's that something will benefit you, or something you've already done or are doing is also going to reward you. And I think in a large part due to the satisfaction of it. But there could be a little money shuffle going on. That could be something getting paid off, you know, a relief of some kind where it's not a burden. It's just something like that. Or you're able to afford something you've been putting off for a long time. And I think that's a great amount of satisfaction. Yeah, I like it.
All right. And we've got Kevin next.
Yeah.
For you, I have number 7, self-mastery. Let's see. Number 7, self-mastery. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery towards the path of self-completeness.
Got the 3 of hearts there, Kevin. You know, I want to say I appreciate we've all been through challenging times, but some energy has shifted for some folks here, Michael. Self-mastery and the 3 of hearts of that 3 of cups is about a celebration. So taking that moment to celebrate yourself, celebrate an occasion or an anniversary of some kind, the work you did on yourself, you're now seeing its application and how effectively good it's been. So it's, I don't know, in my head I see people clicking wine glasses. So it's like, whew, good, we're here, I've arrived, I got this. So, well, thanks for that, Edward. He says he's very close to paying off some debts. So, yay, that's awesome.
Very good. That's always a good
Perfect.
Feeling.
Thanks for the feedback. That's good.
All right.
Dr.
Zorn.
Yeah.
I have you next. And a lot of the kind of lower 20s and lower numbers tonight, I have number 23, meaning and purpose. Let's see. The meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. The purpose of life is the action plan for the meaning of life. The purpose can change. A sense of purpose always evolves. The question is not, what is the purpose of life? Rather, it is, what is the purpose of my life? True fulfillment comes when embracing your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning. This card can also relate to the meaning or purpose of a specific situation or lack thereof.
You know, when you get the Hierophant, it means, to me, it's more solid, grounded, comfort, routines, and sometimes it can be about conformity. You know, that's basically what a lot of tarot books will tell you. But meaning and purpose, what I get from this with the Hierophant, Zoran, is things have settled for you, or they are settling. You're feeling more grounded or more like you've been learning a lot. You know, when finally you get it a little bit and you're not quite as confused and you sit and you say, oh, I'm okay. This is good. And things have gotten organized. You're feeling a little bit better about yourself. So I want to say, you know, enjoy that. Take this moment to give yourself a pat on the back, as Dr. Kelly would say. And let the energy keep flowing. Good. I like it.
All right. I think we have our card keeper herself, Wendy, next. Oh,
yeah.
This is good. All right, Wendy, you get number 17, reinvention. Kind of on the nose, isn't it? All right. Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which, in turn, is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they are healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day? And what else in my life should be reinvented?
Ace of Diamonds. Boy, there's a lot of stuff. Ace of Pentacles. In this reinvention, and being clever, you've done some juggling, Wendy, and you've figured some stuff out. The Ace of Pentacles is always about an acquisition, a satisfaction with an acquisition, or having arrived, or the extra bit of money, or you figured out the money. So, look, I'm just telling you what's popping up here, people. It's it's the energy at work. So I have these cards fanned out on my table, and I just face down, I don't know what I'm picking, and it comes up. So that reinvention, okay, now I'm remembering, you know, your issues with your car, you know, things about the job. And speaking of which, there could be a new job or a new position coming for you that I want to say also. So, ooh, things are in the works. I like it. Good.
Good
stuff.
It's
a good message. It's a really positive message there for you, Wendy.
All right. And, again, I hope I'm saying this right, Voiles, and who is a previous listener, just haven't seen you in a while, so happy to see you back. And, again, feel free to write me in the chat if I am incorrect on the pronunciation. But for you, we're getting out of the lower numbers and we're getting into a wild card. Well, at the other end of the deck, even though it is a low number, is number 5. Wild card number 5, don't hate. A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm, do right to self and others. So I hope that connects. I'm holding on to the concept of don't hate with my dog behind me tearing something up as I talk. But
well, Voiles, I got to tell you, that don't hate, I picked the page of Pentacles. It beats me with people with the Pentacles thing tonight. But I thought, well, what is that? Is it just me? Why am I picking Pentacles? And I took out another one, 10 of Pentacles. I kid you not. So the don't hate, And what I want to go to is finances. And maybe it's something about you're upset with somebody or might be upset with somebody who owes you money, or there's something incorrect about money and you're frustrated. Look, it could be something as simple as something not right on your paycheck. What do I know? But there's something here where I think we all get frustrated. And I don't mean to say I think you're shorted in any way in your daily life, but something in a communication about finances or the buying and selling or the coming of going of money. It's very easy to get PO'd with people. And trust me, I understand. I think we all do, Michael. You know?
Oh, I know.
But it's take it with a grain of salt and just know that it's going to work itself out. So that's my message to you.
It's a good message.
Even though, and I want to add though, because it comes to me, Michael, if somebody's upset with you, know that unless you feel that you've done something, it's all on them. It's not on you. That's just something I wanted to
add. True. You know, this reminds me that something else that came to mind while we were talking. I don't know if it applies necessarily, but my dad always had a saying that what somebody else thinks of me is none of my business. It doesn't matter. Unless it's something that you need to, like a work relationship, you know, or something like that you need to keep in a healthy way.
Oh, Voiles, thank you for the feedback. Sorry I cut you off, Michael.
Oh,
he said he's a truck driver and he's recently had canceled loads. So that makes perfect sense. Coming and going of money and getting frustrated, it makes perfect sense. So just hang in there. Hang in there. It's coming. Everything is going to straighten itself out.
Yeah, you have a knack for hitting that stuff on the head.
I don't know. It beats me where it comes from. Voices in my head.
Well, just tell them to keep it coming. Just, you know, don't make them mad. Just keep it coming. All right. We have Dr. Zach as our final card, if I'm not mistaken, of the evening.
Yeah.
All right. And Dr. Zach, you get the highest number card of the evening, number 45, inspiration and motivation.
Oh, I love that.
Inspiration and motivation come from hope. Motivation means finding a meaningful reason to do something. Look within for inspiration leading to motivation by reflecting on your goals and the life you want to live. Drive and accomplishment may be missing from your life, or your life may revolve too heavily around it. Remain balanced, inspired, and motivated with the vigor of positive energy.
Hey, Zach. I got the High Priestess. You know how to put that together. Inspiration, motivation, High Priestess. What I want to add, though, in here is sometimes we get very occupied in life and we can't see our intuition. We can't feel our intuition. We say, my intuition isn't working. And I'll give you just an example. I went and took a 4-day hiatus and went to visit a friend in another town. And I chilled out. Man, did I chill out. And just a very relaxing few days. You know, barbecues at night, sitting on the deck, drinking wine, trust me. And I realized that I hadn't been centered in a while. I'd been mentally overactive and physically oppressed. And it was about connecting that again and, you know, just, whew, okay. Because when things are discombobulated a bit, we get occupied with life. And, of course, mentally occupied, we tend to lose that, you know, sense of self and our senses about stuff. And not that I can always figure out my own life anyway, Michael, but Zach knows what I mean. It's like at the moment where, what's the inspiration? What's the motivation? And then, oh, life takes over. And, well, where's my inspiration, motivation? What's my intuition tell me to do? And it's that balance and always staying, you know, simply connected, you know, that self-centering. And it's just reminding you to do that. That's all. Because you're a sharp cookie. And very intuitive, I might add. And are we having, I think, sorry?
No, I'm agreeing with you, which is always a good thing to do.
I think we're having Zach on the program.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know he's kind of balancing a couple things, but in chat, Zach earlier said that looking pretty good, he should be able to join us, and we're going to have our card keeper, Wendy, pretty soon after. And, you know, our live listeners know that Dr. Vicky had to use some pretty, I don't know, excessive abuse on the chat to get Zach to join us next week, but but we appreciate it, and we're looking forward to having you. So,
as always.
And Zach, looking at a house Friday, that's exciting. And
Zach always has something to say, and primarily about astrology or readings that he does and specialty. Just graduated from another course. Can't wait to hear about it. So we'll see what he has to say next week.
It's going to be good stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Always love it. Always love it. So something to look forward to. Looking forward to Wendy. We have another guest lined up we're coordinating with and via email in the background. So we'll, I think we're going to have a few weeks of guests on, so it's going to be good stuff.
Yeah,
awesome. And just hopefully that goes well for you, Dr. Zach, on the house Friday, looking at a house. You are right. Houses are very expensive. I know that firsthand. And well, so I think we all do.
Zach just said he pulled the exact same card, the High Priestess. Now, look, how many thousands of miles do we live away from each other, Zach? We're connected. The spirits are connected. I pull the High Priestess, you pull the High Priestess. So you know what the message is. It's pure intuition. So follow your gut. When you're looking at these houses, feel it. Make sure you feel it. Do you belong there? Can you see yourself there? And what does that sense tell you? So, good one.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I think that's it, Michael. Oh, this time goes by so fast.
It does. Sorry,
I hope I didn't monopolize the conversation too much. Sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. It was good stuff. Good stuff. You got to let you cook, you know? That's good. And I'm really hoping that Dr. Zach and you monopolize the conversation next week. It just keeps it really nice on me, so I appreciate every moment of it. So it's been a good evening, you know? I really enjoyed this topic of reinvention. It's such a core component to life, you know? And Audra, you know, she was thinking about her own life of reinvention, which spawned the last week. You know, she's going through a period of reinvention that week, and which spawned the idea for talking about it this week. So shout out to Audra for that.
Awesome.
And Dr. Zach, looking forward to having you next week. Of course, if something comes up, no worries. We'll balance things out. Looking forward to our card keeper coming up soon, Wendy herself. And, yeah, so we got some good stuff cooking.
Wendy is so awesome when it comes to patterns. I don't know how her brain works. I'm in awe.
Yeah, I know. I know. There's sometimes I'll see, like, numeric patterns in the cards, and just to myself, I'm wondering, I wonder what Wendy thinks about that.
I know.
But,
well, I see patterns, too, but I don't see them the way Wendy does. Like, holy. So I look forward to it.
I'm just here having fun. I don't see anything, but... But no, It's good stuff. And again, thank you guys for joining us every week. I can't tell you how much it means to us. And the fact that we get to spend time together, it's just awesome. So thank you guys for your time, your dedication, and your loyalty. And thank you, Dr. Vicky. I always appreciate you.
Oh, I appreciate you so much, Michael. You know, you just don't know, really.
Oh, well, we got a lot of love going around here, and I love to see it.
Cheerleaders. We need outfits.
But it is that time of night. And as we kind of wrap up, you know, Dr. Vicky, I want to hear it.
Don't let them push you around out there, people.
Gosh darn right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.